Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, Why Good People Can't Lead Bad Relationships, and Confessions of Reluctant Long Island Psychic. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an artist, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you today?
How are you, my darling?
Everything is good. I've enjoyed the last couple of days being able to cross-country ski a little bit in the country club down the block. That was a lot of fun. You know, just enough snow didn't stop the world, but we could still have a little fun.
You know, which, yep,
which
absolutely.
Is always good, which is good. Now, are you and Lisa going to go snowboarding this year? Because usually you do.
Yeah, we are going to go, but unfortunately, you know, because of the actors' strike, we're trying to be a little bit more responsible with our discretionary funds. So we're not going as often, but we are scheduling our first outing next week.
Okay, good. That's very
yeah,
good.
We're trying to be responsible. We're trying to be responsible, so obviously we're not going every weekend like we would normally do, you know. But we are going to schedule some. We are going to have some. We're scheduling our joy therapy, and we're planning on it, so we can take a little bit of a breather from everything that's been going on.
Good. That's what we want. A little bit of nature therapy and joy therapy. Remember,
absolutely.
these are healthy things, you know. Remember, I keep telling you,
yes,
joy therapy does not imply getting dead drunk. Okay.
Nor
is it retail therapy spending big money, okay? Because these are
No.
These are
Scheduling. That's why we're scheduling. You know, we've been putting a little bit of money aside so that when the time comes, bills are paid first and snowboarding comes afterwards. So we're just being a little bit more responsible right now, unfortunately. Normally this time of year, I'm just a spendthrift,
okay?
But we don't have that option this year.
You're being grown-ups, okay?
Exactly.
I mean, people can do everything they want by putting it on credit cards because, you know, the more you use the credit cards, the more credit they give you. But that doesn't mean you could pay it off. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, don't get into those cycles of things because I spend an awful lot of time doing readings for people who are way into debt. I really have nothing to show for it other than that they didn't, you know to, you know, watch your pennies, watch your dollars, watch the money. And you know, too much impulse spending. We see an awful lot of the impulse spending. So I'm glad to hear that you're kind of knowing what you could spend and what you can't spend. You know?
Exactly.
And I think also for you, it might have been a good lesson in how much you could actually save if you continue to do this, too, in the future.
True.
You know, with learning how to budget money and what you need to buy and what you don't need to buy.
Yep.
You know, we were the generations, my generation, who could have raised people that had lived during the Depression or their families had lived. And people used to, like, watch pennies and stuff. Like, you know, I always tell the story, like, we always had to have a dime to make a phone call. But we could never spend it because if you spent it and you needed to call your parents, you couldn't – if you asked a grown-up for a dime, they'd say, where's the one your parents gave you? Like, no one would give you 10 cents. You know what I mean? Like, no one would give you 10 cents. So we've gone so – from watching pennies and dimes, but it's gotten so people don't watch $20 and $30 and $15 and $5, and they all start to add up after a while. You know, all those $12, you know, coffees – you know, a couple of times a day adds up. So these are things, just
certainly
be a little more aware of money and how it all does add up. And, you know, watching it a little bit, because, you know, really, it's really painful for me here to hear my clients so in debt, by the way, a lot of them.
Oh,
very painful. You know, if you ask them what they spent it on, oh, it's DoorDash, it's, you know, coffees, it's, you know, I don't know, Amazon, what did you buy? I don't know. You know, so
yep.
All of this. So it's a little more reeling it in. So we do have so many. And now, first of all, how was everybody's Valentine's Day? Did you have a little just little private dinner with her at home or something nice with Lisa? Did you do anything?
Well, you know
all?
What? We really, Lisa and I don't really celebrate Valentine's Day. You know, because for us, it's like, you know, like we treat each other a certain way every day of the year. So we really don't, you know, Valentine's Day is like no big whoop for us. But Lisa's birthday is the day before Valentine's Day. So, you know, she, you know, worked that day. And, you know, what I did was she's been dying for beef Wellington. So I made a nice beef Wellington for her. And, you know, I made her, you know, a very, very nice dinner. I got her some flowers and I got her a couple of, you know, small little token gifts, nothing really that major this year. You know, got a bottle of wine and we just, you know, sat together and had a nice meal. And, you know, she opened up a couple of presents. You know, I got her a little mini cake and I had her mom come over to sing happy birthday. And that was it. We basically just watched, you know, a couple of movies and we fell asleep on the couch together. You know, and that was
yep.
that was perfect.
Those
you know,
are
and
the
Valentine's Day was it was kind
way.
Of the same thing. Yeah, Valentine's Day. You know, again, we just you know I didn't make anything special, but you know we just had a, you know a nice dinner together. You know, and you know we just kind of hung out and you know did our thing. You know, Valentine's
right.
Day. This time of year, it's not really that huge for me because I have her birthday on the 13th. I have Valentine's Day on the 14th. I did get chocolate-covered strawberries for dessert. You know, that was the one special thing that I did do for Valentine's Day. And I got her a little bit of chocolate. And then I have my mom's birthday on the 15th, you know, today. So, you know, yeah, it's a big 3 days, and her dad's birthday was last Friday. So it's a big couple days for us.
Right. Well, that's good, you know. And, you know, that these are the way that you should do some simple things, having fun. I know we were lucky. I kind of took most of the day off. I had a reading to do because sometimes people pay without asking me on my website, and then I'll try to squeeze them in even for my day off, which I hate doing, but that's what I did.
Yeah.
But I basically had the day off. So, we, you know, I thought that the snow was a nice gift because we just went down the block and were able to have a little fun and, you know, bake some cupcakes. It was simple, but it was simple. The simple things are good. We don't have to spend a lot of money. Just have a good time.
Nope.
You know, and... So we do have a lot of listeners. We haven't screened anyone. Is there anyone we should pick up first, do you think?
You know what? I did not jump into the chat room with anybody before the show. I do see a couple of numbers here that I recognize. So we can definitely pick up some of those guys. But I think, you know, with true tradition, we should probably, you know, pick the person up first that has been waiting the longest. And then I'll pop into the chat room and I'll see what everybody else wants. And now for those of you who have listened to the show, you already know this part. And for any of the new callers right now, you don't know this part. So before you take that call, Cindy, let me just give everybody the rundown. If you would like to speak to Cindy or myself this evening, please press the number 1 on your keypad. This way I get an alert that tells me that you would like to be screened and hopefully get on the air tonight. Since I do not know everybody's phone numbers, I will always identify new callers with the last 4 digits of your phone number. So please, if you are in dead silence and you feel yourself pulled out of the show, and please listen for those last 4 numbers, and then this way I can cue you up and get you on the air tonight. In this particular case, we don't know the number of the person that has been waiting the longest, so your last 4 digits are 8683, and let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, 8683, you are on the air.
Hello.
Did we just lose them? I think we may have just lost somebody.
Maybe they didn't realize that they pressed 1 and they didn't want to talk.
No, I found it. For some reason, they dropped all the way down the list. Okay. Let's try that again. 8683, you are on the air.
Yeah, hi there. Oh, that was a little weird, but I'm here.
You know, that is so
okay,
funny, right? Isn't that a little weird that it, you know, you have to understand, it shouldn't be weird. We're on this show, so we never know what spirit might be doing that appears to be a little weird.
Ain't that the truth?
Right. I know. Oh,
so
I just want to say this.
Who are we speaking to?
My name is Marie.
Okay, Marie, and where are you calling from?
I'm in the great state of New York.
Okie dokie, Marie. So what's on your mind today?
Okay, can I just say something for what you were
saying
in the beginning of the show? You were talking about money and how quickly and people don't realize. I'm going to tell you what I do. I work with, all different ages. And I find that the older generation, 60, 70, 80, a lot of them pay in cash, where a lot of, I'll say, 50 and under pay with cards. And I'm guilty of this myself. And you use your card, you swipe, 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 and then you're like, oh, my gosh, where did all my money go? And the older generation has a much better grip on money. So for anyone out there wondering where your money goes, this is just my thought. Take out $100, use that every time you go somewhere, pay with that $100 and see how fast it goes. Then you can kind of put into perspective a little bit. Oh, geez, I spend more money than I thought. It gives you a better understanding of, wow. You get what I'm saying?
Of course it does. Because, we used to, when we were growing up, be in a store and you would put up all this stuff. And all of a sudden it'd be like, all this money. And go, oh, my God, I got to put half of this back because we were paying cash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny because you don't realize how it can add up so quickly. So you're right.
Oh, my
right.
gosh, you're not kidding.
And one of the things that was like went viral was the old-fashioned way of people used to put money in an envelope and label it for like this bill, that bill, just the basic, like, think about it. I think, you have a dry January. I think we should have like a credit card free, February and see, pay cash and see how that goes. Although lots of places, like when we were in England, London, no one told us that you really can't use cash mostly. And, so you can't even get on the metro without a card. You can't get on the trams. No one would take cash. You also have to have cards that swipe, and my card was a Capital One that didn't swipe. It was a disaster. So sometimes people don't, it's kind of trying to sabotage almost people's ability to use, cash. But again, then, if you have to use your card for certain things, get in the habit of paying the card off each month. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Because then if you're paying the card off it and if you can't, you realize you're spending more money than you could afford.
Than you could afford. Right. Exactly.
It's a scary thing because it adds up really fast.
You're not kidding.
Be a little more cognizant. You're right. Other generations, we had learned to count cash before we were ever given credit cards. This younger generation has never learned how to count cash. And we're giving cards.
Exactly.
A swiping thing. And I see even with myself with Amazon, because that's how I don't really get time to go to the store. At the end of the month, I'll look at my Amazon and go, man, that's a lot, and it was stuff that I needed, but it's still, you see, wow, how it adds up. So, imagine if you're just buying randomly things, it gets crazy.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
it sure does.
I'm so glad you brought that up because to reinforce, I think this is the year I'm going to try to get my clients to be a little more cognizant of living within your means or below.
That's very good. I think that's very, very good because people don't, I always say no matter what subject it is, you can tell, 10 people can tell you something until you get the until you figure out the equation, whatever kind of problem it is or whatever kind of, you don't get it. So when it comes to money, whoever's listening, take that X amount out and spend that cash until it's gone and then look and say, oh, geez, what did I spend it on? Where did it go so quick? How many times you swipe your card a day and not even realize that? That's the best advice I can give
And it's the truth of the matter. Because also remember, banks were not open 24/7. At all, but
right.
You can take money out at ATMs all the time. When I was growing up, at 3 o'clock, the banks closed on Friday. If you didn't get to the bank by 3 o'clock, you had no money till Monday, and you went straight up to your quarters. You'd be surprised how many you found your quarters.
Mm-hmm.
You found you this. No one loaned you money, by the way. Nobody gave you it. And so you learned, I can't spend any money for 2 days because I didn't get to the bank. So this is
right.
Ridiculous. People bring you know, like you used to go to a place, say there's a place, you know, like Dave and Buster's where people put games and things. They would, say there was a place like that. It wasn't Dave and Buster's, but you would have like $5 and you would spend $5. You couldn't go to an ATM machine and spend 50 now.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
That's what you brought with you.
Exactly.
I'm just going to interject there real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
It is so easy to access money these days.
Oh,
yesterday,
yeah.
I needed to make a deposit, okay, and I forgot my wallet at home. I did not have a debit card on me, and I was able to go to the ATM. I was able to tap my phone to the ATM, log into my bank account, and make my deposit with not even a single card on me. Now
you
can
use your phone number?
Your phone. No,
oh, your phone,
can set up. You can set up like a bank account on your phone, and I have my bank account set up. I have like a kind of defunct one set up, one that I don't keep cash in just in case I lose my phone. So what I was able to do was I was able to make the deposit into that defunct account, but then I was able to log into my account and transfer the money into the correct account. So that's how easy it is these days to overspend, because you don't even need your wallet anymore to do it.
Right.
Right,
and everybody
has their phone.
Remember, during
everybody
COVID,
has their phone on them.
You remember during COVID, a lot of my clients were shocked because they didn't realize their spouses had gotten loans from $10,000 to $1 million that they couldn't have gotten a $10 loan. Some of these people, by the way, you think. And now they got these 50-year loans. They have 50 years to pay them off, but they're $50,000, they're $100,000, they're $500,000 loans.
Jeez.
That they couldn't understand why their spouses weren't working for 2 years. Where was this money coming from? Now, a lot of them have realized it because their spouses have died, and there's this huge loan that they didn't know they took, and they don't know what they spent it on. Okay? And it's frightening that people are being offered loans that they really don't have the ability to pay off or should you know, never have been offered it. So it's too much, getting too much credit, getting more getting all of this, you know, the more you spend, the more they will keep, you know, letting your credit card give you more and more, you know, money on
it. Right. So
these are things that, and before you know it, you're in this vicious cycle. So that's what I'm really seeing, and I've heard a lot in this week of people panicking because they're so in debt and they didn't even realize it. You know what I mean? So that's why we're all going to be speaking this a lot this year. Just watch what you're spending.
Yes. 50 or 60 years ago, maybe even a little sooner, women could not even get credit. If they were married, the man had to get the credit. The woman really couldn't get the credit. But ironically, she was the one handling the finances, but she couldn't get the credit. It's just kind of so she had to figure out how to make things work with what, you know, the money they actually had, and men didn't really run out and get credit too very often. I mean, they did, but not like today. Now anybody can get credit just by filling out an application.
And people have 20 or 30 or 40 credit cards, by the way. It looks like a card deck. Do you know what I mean?
Either that or a rainbow or something.
Right. So, you know, I'm glad that chimed in on this one, too. So, anyway, you must have called for something about yourself.
I did, actually. But, I have a question about a gentleman, and just to see what you see going on. I mean, you know, what's coming up maybe or not or whatever.
Okay. Now, this is a gentleman you're dating or you like or you...
It's someone I know.
Okay. And have you dated him yet at all? Do you want to date him?
I'd be interested in it, yeah.
Okay. And, you know, how long have you known this person?
Cause I've known him a long time.
Yeah, because it looks like a long-term relationship. And, you know, it doesn't look like you've talked to him in a while. Has something happened that you haven't talked to him?
It's been a while since we chatted, yeah.
Okay. Mostly it looks like he's okay, but I don't really see him coming into your life anytime soon. Are you willing to meet someone else? Because you actually have this man showing up, but there's another guy showing, if you're ready for something else, someone new.
they, I'm open to whatever. I mean, if the other guy comes around and we're friends, great. If he comes around and he wants to entertain more, great. If not, if somebody new, if 10 people new come in, great. If nobody comes in, so be it. I'm just kind of wondering, what, you know, whatever. I'm easygoing.
I mean, have you thought about contacting him at all?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to do. You know what it is? I'm not really... I'm just kind of taking life in every, you know, for anything that happens in life in general, whether it's a guy or work or people, or I'm just kind of going with the flow on everything. So
I mean, you don't have any bad cards. It actually looks like be open to meeting someone new this year. You know, just be open to it because, you know, your cards are like have a lot of like, you know, nothing bad, but new things, new opportunities. You know, if you just keep your eyes open. You know, work looks okay here. Again, we were talking about money a little bit. I think you've got a pretty good grip on what you need to do money-wise.
I'm working very hard on it. I did get in a little, nothing terrible, but I'm way overspent. And just, I took a hard look and I said, you know what? As soon as I'm done with my credit cards, paying them off, cut, and... I'm going to be done with them. Maybe keep one for emergencies. I'm not in terrible, like I don't owe months or even a month. I'm in good standing, but I looked and I went, holy wow, what did I do? So
thank you. That's why I think you were really meant to call into the show today. That holy wow.
Yeah.
Spirit's been trying to tell people, holy wow.
Okay? Exactly.
Take a look at it. So, you know, that's something that I see the finances being better, you know, you getting that grip and, you know, thinking before we spend. I mean, I'm so glad because that looks really good here. Your money looks like you'll get out of this and it's no big deal. But you see, if you didn't reel it in for like two more years, like just weren't, you know, so people practice denial. They still want to look at it. Okay. And if they have 10 different cards, they're not looking at all the debt at once. Okay.
Exactly.
One of the good things about doing online banking and, you know, is that you get to see how much is on your credit card. Like if you just look at it, it comes up, it tells you what you're, you know, what you spent, what's on there. And it kind of can be a little, if you do it a couple of times, a week or a month, you'd be surprised how is it that big? And you look at it and you go, man, that added up to that much. Kind of looking at it, not being in denial, because I think Spirit really wants you to just do some, you know, some financial housekeeping, let's call it that way, that house in order. But I keep getting the soulmate card here, so I would keep my eyes open for love and all of that. You know, nothing looks bad in your cards. Again, that was a little bit of a wake-up call because, you know, a lot of times what it is people just don't really address their finances for 2 or 3 years, and then it's really a bigger mess than they thought. So, that you even as you know said, "Wow, I can't believe this! Like, how did this happen?"
Yeah, I did. I mean, I knew I was getting up there, but when I really found out, I went, "Oof, I got up there a little too high." Okay, here's my plan. It's a 2-year plan for me. I'm expecting to have it all done in 2 years. And like I said, snip, snip, snip with the cards and keep one for emergencies. But at that point, I don't even think I'll need one for an emergency because now that I've seen the equation and I've figured it out, I should be able to, you know, put a little money away between now and 2 years to get everything paid off and have a little bit aside in case. So,
now you see it's
a
2-year plan. Which is not a short period of time, by the way, but
no,
my clients have like 10-year now. They're going to take 10 years to get out of this mess.
I'm sorry for them.
That's what I'm saying. And they're young people, and I'm, you know, just saying, reel it in. Even when they want readings, I'll go, you just had a reading. You don't need a reading. Save the money. I'm trying to tell them, don't spend it on a reading. I gave you a reading.
Yeah, exactly.
6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, nothing's changed. Okay, nothing's changed.
Right.
You know, stick with it. So these are things, you know, that, you know, I'm so glad you brought that because for some reason Spirit was saying all day to me on the show, please bring up money because, you know, Spirit's concerned. They're concerned
mm-hmm,
with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and let's put, COVID was supposed to be a sort of a wake-up call, but it didn't wake up properly. In other words, it was a collective bailout. If people had this happen to them, they got sick by themselves, and they weren't mm-hmm. getting $1,000 a week to stay home, and they weren't getting bailed out. What a mess it would
right.
have been. Okay, like
yeah.
no other generation's ever got bailed out like this. Like
no.
we used to know, save for a rainy day. You
mm-hmm.
could have a rainy day. Like people have nothing saved if there's a disaster. Like thank God for Nicole and Lisa because they were, it was beyond them when that was on strike for all that 5 or 6 months. Had they
mm-hmm.
not had money saved, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah.
right, right, Nicole. I mean, I'm saying, Nicole, like it could have been a total disaster. So I tell people they used
oh,
to be called saving for a rainy day.
Yes.
Okay. You know, making sure if something happened, you had it. I mean, I just think COVID taught the wrong thing. It taught, well, we'll bail you all out. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and everybody's entitled.
We'll give you more money than you ever made. We'll give you,
yeah.
we'll give you loans that you can't afford. We'll give you everything and keep you floating. So I don't think that
right.
was the message that should have been given. Like, oh, don't
right.
worry, if anything happens, I'll be bailed out.
Exactly.
Not
the only way you're entitled,
down.
Everyone, only way everybody's entitled is if you're out there busting your butt and making that money. Then you're entitled to get something nice as long as you can afford it, but nobody should come along and bail anybody out.
Exactly.
Nope.
I mean,
and I'm sorry if it's harsh, but it's fact.
Thank you. And that's what I think, just a little tougher love about money. And
mm-hmm.
for across the board in America, I think it's just gotten insane. It's insane.
Yeah.
And because
it
of,
really
you know, the influencers, you know, young 9-year-old girls get their parents to buy them like $50 cream for their face because they're afraid they're going to get wrinkled. It's giving them acne, by the way. You know, 9 years old spent
yeah.
$50 on eye cream. Are you kidding me? This is insanity.
If I had a kid, I might slap them silly for asking that. And I don't believe in hitting kids, but something like that may make me just give my head upside the head.
Maybe that's what we do. Let's just slap everybody silly today. You know what I mean? But again,
yeah.
if it's been such a big download for me in the year 2024 from Spirit,
mm-hmm.
I have a funny feeling Spirit knows that financially or something may be coming in the future. So maybe be prepared and have a little of that nest egg in case things get a little rocky for a little
mm-hmm.
bit, you know, so that you can ride through that. I mean, if people get sick, you know, sometimes you can't go to work. Sometimes it's going
right.
to, you know, sometimes you're going to be out of work. So those are the things that, you know, thank God we talked about it because, you know, with Marie, and I'm glad that just the Spirit just wanted to reinforce, you got the message from Spirit. We're proud of you. So if you're wondering, do you hear Spirit? You heard it.
Oh, I do. I pray and I have a lot of faith in God. So, you know, I try to really listen. I know God's up there sometimes shaking his head going, when is this girl going to figure out this equation? Come on, figure it out. And he's just looking down, shaking his head. Okay, haven't given up on her yet. She'll get there. But God, is she slow sometimes.
Well, thanks for calling in and have a great week. And, you know,
you
thanks
too.
For your input because we really needed it. We needed a voice of sanity from someone who saw a problem and is reeling it in.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate
bye
that. And bye-bye. You ladies have a great night. Thank you and a great week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we have, let's
yep,
see, Sarah.
I got two people queued up.
Okay. Now, Sarah, have I ever read her before?
A while back. I'm sorry. Sarah called in a couple weeks ago, and Marie, I believe, called in a while back.
Okay.
So those are going to be our two next callers. Okay, so first up, we have Sarah. Sarah is calling us from New York. And the last time she spoke to you, Cindy, you told her that she needed to start looking for her soulmate. Well, she found a guy, and it's a fairly new sort of relationship, and she wants to know your thoughts. So here we go out to Sarah in New York. Hello, Sarah. You're on the
Hi.
Air.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. So I'm
Hi.
So glad you got out there. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah,
so,
I'm trying.
Okay, so where did you meet this wonderful guy?
So it's a funny story. 8 years ago, we were in the same math class at Suffolk, and at the time, he had a girlfriend. And then a few weeks ago, he friended me on Facebook, like out of the blue. And then I found him on, I was on Tinder recently, and then I found him, I swiped right, and he matched with me. And then he started messaging me, and we kind of went from there.
Wow. Funny, isn't that, because it's funny, we could have met some of these people earlier, okay? Isn't that funny? You know,
mm-hmm.
we could have met them, and now you've met, you know, and he seems like a nice guy. You know, I think you had sort of a guy friend for a while that you sort of that wasn't going anywhere, sort of.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In the past. So is that one over with now?
Yeah, that's been over. He's kind of moved on with somebody, and yeah, it would just, I knew that wasn't going to work, so.
Okay. And so how long have you been dating him now? Just a few weeks?
This is really, honestly, I've just been dating him so far this week. We went out on Tuesday.
Okay. Now, as a dating expert, I really don't like to do a reading on something that's not 3 months, because the first two
okay.
months it all looks good, and then the 3 months we could see what the truth of the matter is here. You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes commitment phobics don't reveal themselves until, you know, the 2 or 3 month mark. I would say start this one with the right foot. I know you kind of met on Tinder, but, you know, he was in your math class, but start it old-fashioned. If you're looking for a relationship, don't start it as a Tinderella. Don't start it as a booty call. You know what I mean? Like, you know, say what you're looking for. You know, don't be afraid to say I'm looking for a committed relationship. Have you had
yeah.
any of that talk with him yet?
Yes, we did. Honestly, Cindy, he's looking for the same things as
Thank
me.
Thank you, dear.
He was about to leave Tinder, actually, until I matched with him. And then he took me out to coffee on Tuesday, and he was so sweet. And then we went out to dinner last night, and then we're going out on Saturday. He's really not looking for
and
a
he
wedding.
Took
He's
you
looking...
out on Valentine's Day. Well, that's not a commitment, darling. That's
yeah.
a good
He got
time.
Me a gift on Tuesday. He got me, like, flowers and chocolate and asked me to be his Valentine. Like, and then he took me to a really nice dinner on Wednesday. So, yeah.
Well, you see, all this is good. Like, think about it. If you're a guy, and I will tell you, I know who Sarah is. I know her family. She's a beautiful girl, inside and out, and she's smart. She's a good catch. So this guy was smart enough to realize, boy, if the universe brought us in alignment with each other around Valentine's Day, then I'm going to buy her something. Like, other guys would be just like, oh, I'm not going to date her for a week till Valentine's Day passes. I'm not going to spend $2 on her. Do you know what I mean? Like, notice that. He used it as an opportunity to start this old-fashioned so that you could mm-hmm. remember, you know, this is going to be a long-term relationship. You have a really pleasant memory of when you met. And, again, soulmates are usually brought 5, 8, 10 years, and usually, you know, in advance, and we could have met, but for some reason we didn't gel at that point. Now, did you ever talk to him when you were in the math class?
Yeah, a little bit. I had, like, some friends that he didn't really know, but we were in a math group together, so we worked on a project, and he does remember me since I mentioned that we were in the math class. So he's like, I do remember you. He was like, I was trying to figure out, I was going to message you on Facebook. I was like, you look so familiar. So we did, like, have a few interactions, but nothing serious.
Right. And, you know, now you've been brought back in alignment. You know, your mother's parents seem to like him. If you want to, if, like I asked on the other side, anybody want to chirp in over the other
side? I'm good. I'm glad. You know, I thought, like, they would. I was like,
can you just chirp in a little? I know it's new, but, you know, I would appreciate a little voice from the other side. And your grandmother seems to really like him, okay?
Oh, good.
And your grandpa said he's hardworking. Is this true?
That's very true, very
because
true.
Grandpa said, thank God we found a guy that goes to work, okay?
Yeah, he goes to work. He has a legit job, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big deal over on the other side. Like, the guy should work, you know, and it was very nice. Your grandmother likes that he, you know, took an advantage to, you know, make it a nice date for Valentine's Day and make it nice. That was wonderful, you
mm-hmm.
know, and... Don't you think that was thoughtful?
So thoughtful, like beyond, like I was floored and surprised on Tuesday. He actually brought me flowers and like a ton of nice things and asked me to be his Valentine. You just, so sweet. Like, he's like, pick you up for your date. I'm going to come to the door. I'm not like going to sit outside. I want to meet your family. Like, he's just so, so
now,
nice.
You know that your grandparents had to have something to do with this one. You know,
yeah,
like, can you see
I do.
How it's terrible as a parent, by the way, when, you know, guys don't think that they have to even, you know, introduce themselves to you. It's very awkward as a parent, by the way. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That the guy doesn't want to meet you. You know, that's
yeah.
weird to me. Like,
yeah, I've had
you
that
know, anyone
who's
old-fashioned would say, I want her parents to know it. Like, take a look at me. She's going to be driving in my car. I want them to, like, not worry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know how to drive.
Yeah.
I don't look like I'm stoned. You know, look at me. I'm a good guy. So
right.
You know, your grandparents really like him. They're clapping their hands
mm-hmm.
on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That he's old-fashioned. Yeah, I got the husband card and the soulmate card. You know, you've got, and he's a loyal man from what I could see here. You know, you've got a good, starting out on the right 2 feet. It's starting out old-fashioned, okay? It's starting out
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I can't stand these dating sites. It's just lunch. Really? Like,
yeah.
It's just bagels.
He's the same
not
way.
Worth much more than a bagel. Is this bagel?
Right.
You know, I mean, these are insane things to me. It's like, why wouldn't you have a connection with someone? Why wouldn't you want to have a memory? I remember when I met TJ and he was like, oh, we're going to go on a really nice first date because I want you to remember it. You know what I mean? Like, pick a restaurant by
yeah.
the water that you like. Like, those are
mm-hmm.
things that, you know, if you're going to have a long-term relationship, start it out right. So
exactly.
Really good. Now, I know you wanted to call into the radio show a few weeks ago, and in the show, that was the week our show wasn't on the air, okay?
Right.
For some reason, the whole site was down. I don't think Spirit wanted you to get a reading then. I think they wanted you to get it today, you know, a little bit.
Okay,
You know, start it out nice. I'm going to give you as a dating expert, you know, he should want to see you regularly. Like, if someone doesn't
mm-hmm.
want to see you regularly, like, what are they doing? Why don't they want to see me regularly? You know, start it out where you connect a lot, see each other. I mean, I like the way he's, you know, brought the two dates close together, you know, like
mm-hmm.
not 3 weeks between dates. Okay?
Right,
like
literally.
Guys, wake up.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
A woman,
mm-hmm.
Like if a man only wanted to see every 3 or 4 weeks, I go, what's he doing for sex? He's probably a porn addict. Okay, that's my thought.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yeah.
So men,
mm-hmm.
if you're not seeing women regularly, you're giving off a wrong signal to them, okay? You're giving
mm-hmm.
off a wrong signal. You should want to see them, be with them. But he looks like a really nice guy. I'm so glad your grandparents, and I know your grandparents because I know your parents for so long, so, you know, your grandmother is very excited by this. You know, it's new.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy. Don't bring any baggage from the past. Do you know what I mean? Let
mm-hmm.
that go.
Yeah.
You know, how old are you now?
26.
Okay. Now, at 26, people should start wanting to, you know, you're not old, you're young, but still, at 26 years old, you're looking for, like, if you're going to be dating someone for a few years, that's probably the person you're going to marry. Like,
mm-hmm.
these are important things. Like, so I'm glad that it started out old-fashioned. I'm just laughing that you've sort of suffering. Now, let's talk about that. What the hell's the matter with people that they can't even connect when they meet in colleges? Like, meeting places, meeting classes, you know? Yes.
Right. Well, I think the problem was he had a girlfriend at the time. It was his,
okay,
his high school sweetheart. That was the it thing, he told me. So I remember him having a girlfriend at that time, and then that spiraled down, and now here we are.
Now, that's interesting because he had a girlfriend. It shows that he's kind of old-fashioned. He's committed to women before, which is a good sign. I like that.
Yeah,
and
me
that
too.
He didn't try to hook up with you when he had his girlfriend. But notice
right.
how it was brought at the point you could have met. And then after, you know, he had ended that, you had to learn some things and then been brought back together. That's a very good sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything looks good here. I would just enjoy it and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm sure your parents were impressed that he wanted to meet them. Were they impressed?
They were impressed. They do like him a lot so far. He's been very nice so far to me. He's been treating me nicely, very nice how he talks to me, very nice how he treats me. He's not pushing me to do anything I don't want to do. He's just such a gentleman. Like, honestly, it's been really hard. And I hate the dating apps, and so does he. He wanted to get off it like no one's business. So it's looking good for
us. That's what I like. I mean, if you meet, that you have to get off the dating apps. And again, we say, like, love can't grow without commitment. So you don't need a prenup for this, but like for 3 months, commit to just being with each other. If it doesn't work by the 3 month mark, you would know it, but at least everyone gave it their all.
Right.
Committing to people, getting off the app. I mean, I would be really upset. I mean, I'm a different generation than you, but if I met someone in the apps and then, you know, I see they're still on it, I think I wouldn't want to get close with that person. I would be like, well, this is stupid. So I'm glad it's starting out like that. And, you know, it was smart to look if you want, meet your family, because first of all, if it's going to be a long-term relationship, you wouldn't want it so that the parents are like, well, I haven't met this guy in a year, you know, that you've been with. It doesn't start it out right. And there's nothing wrong with, you know, being polite. Like, I don't understand, like, why people don't want to meet someone's parents. Or, I mean, that was unheard of when I was growing up. You really, you talk to people's parents, you met them, you know, if their parents knew who you were when you were coming to their house, things like that. So it looks really good. I'm very happy for you. Call in again and let us know how you're doing. But, you know, I remember the last reading. I told you you were due for a soulmate. Do you remember that in the reading?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
You know, that it was circling right near you. And, again, you had to get rid of people that are just like friends that can't move it forward or you don't want to move forward. Those are a waste of time.
Right, exactly.
You know, they give an illusion of having a relationship without being one. You know?
Right.
Well, give your mom a big hug for me, by the way.
Thank you. I will. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Good luck to you. And thanks for sharing that. That was a really nice call. That was really nice. I'm sure every girl listening said, oh, my God, she got flowers. Took her out. You know, we all got a little Hallmark moment here. You know?
Exactly.
Wow, we needed that. Well, good luck and keep us posted. Bye. And you know you could always text me or email me.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now we have Anne-Marie. Wasn't that a nice call? That was kind of nice.
Yes.
Wasn't that nice? That was
I
very
love it when people find love.
Yeah, me too. And I just like when someone, you treat someone well. I mean, you know, this whole thing with, like, you know, guys meeting girls or people meeting at Starbucks and they come in, you know, an hour late, so you bought your own cup of coffee because they didn't want to buy a cup of coffee for you. I mean, you know, again.
I mean, listen, honestly, it's everywhere. It's not just in the dating world. It's everywhere. There is a distinct lack of manners running rampant in this world. Nobody has manners. Nobody could say please. Nobody knows how to say thank you anymore. Nobody knows how to hold the door anymore. Everybody wants to complain about everybody else, and you've got a bunch of Kevins and Karens running around complaining about propriety and everything else, and yet there is a distinct lack of manners today. So I like it when people treat each other nicely, whether it's platonic or whether it's romantic, because it's just lacking in the world.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, even in terms of dealing with people now, the lack of answering an email or like, you know, I'm dealing with people, so I'm like, can't you answer me? Like, if they book a reading, you know, and I'm texting you, and if, you know, can you answer me if you're coming or not coming? I mean, and then I see they're on the fucking phone or they're on Facebook, and then I'll end up reaching them through Facebook. Like, why didn't you answer your text? Do you know what I mean? Like, these things are crazy. Answer people. You know, it's like yes or no.
It's not hard.
It's not hard. You know, at all. So, you know, those are things. Let's get back to being like a little bit more polite, a little more answering people, a little more consideration, you know, because, you know, what it is if you don't confirm things, you don't do it, person doesn't know, you know, they're waiting for you, they don't know, and it's just so annoying to me. I mean,
You know, and it goes hand in hand with that whole avoidance psychology of ghosting people instead of just saying, hey, I'm not interested. You know, it is. It's like, you know, if you have an appointment with somebody and you're just not texting them, or if somebody asks you a question and you're not answering back, you know, you're avoiding saying what? Something that they don't like? I got news for you. It's worse for you to not say anything at all than it is for you to say something that maybe they may or may not like. You know, so you might as well just answer people. Like, seriously,
right.
You might as well just answer people.
Right. And it just get really annoying. I have to tell you,
it gets really annoying.
And you know what? It also, because, you know, sometimes, you know, I've responded to something, I've sent something in or whatever. And, you know, I'm busy. I do things right away, by the way. Anyone who knows me, you ask me to do something, I do it right away. I don't do it a week later. I don't do it. I try to do it right away because I know it's going to get lost if I don't. And then, you know, just have the courtesy to say you received it, you got it, whatever. So then I have to contact you then. Did you get what I sent? I ask, could you please let me know you got this? You know?
Yep, confirm receipt.
Yeah, can you just say you got it, please? So let's work on just being a little more considerate of other people's time as well. I don't feel like we have to chase after people 800 times. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Answer it. And so let's see what Anne-Marie has to say, please.
Yes, of course. Okay, so now Anne-Marie, she's the one that called in, you know, a while back. And she just kind of wants to know, like, the mindset of a situation. And actually, I'm not going to jump into the chat room for this one. I want to hear this one because my family right now
so
is having a similar situation.
Can you churn in until you can help with it, too? Hey, can you, like, chirp in here and help, too, with this one?
Absolutely, I will. Yeah, because my family is in a similar situation, so I'm dying to hear this call. So, basically, she kind of wants your advice on something. She has a family member that needs help. But that member will not accept any help. And Anne-Marie wants to know what your thoughts are on trying to get this person to accept the help that they need. So let's go out. Again, we're sticking in New York tonight, and we're going out to Anne-Marie. Hello, Anne-Marie. You are on the air.
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. So, Anne-Marie, this is getting bad then, huh, for you with this family member?
Well, it's funny how you were talking about disrespect and people not getting back to you. There was a situation, I believe that this person is in trouble. They won't admit to it. All they do is deflect. We had an incredibly solid relationship, and it has now diminished to absolutely nothing. Essentially, she's all alone and being remotely happy, but you and I both know this person, and this is not a normal and acceptable situation, how she's treated me, my family, her friends, her clients. I don't know how to get through to her.
And her father on the other side is saying, at this point, you've delivered your message, let it be. Because it's going to make you sick after a while. Do you realize that?
Oh, it's already made me sick.
Right. I mean, this is a bit much, you know. And, you know, have you been able to talk to her just privately at all?
I did twice. Well, once privately and once with her spouse and another person. And that went horribly wrong.
Okay, yeah, when you have to, you know, talk to people, sometimes it's better if you had just done it one-on-one with her and not involve someone else.
Well, I did the one-on-one, and the only way I could speak to her again is because this person controls her, he insisted on being there and dominated the entire conversation.
Okay, and there is a point where you realize you can't do much about this. Sometimes the serenity prayer is what Spirit's saying to you, accept what you can't change. Because
because I don't know, I wanted validation that we're all at that point that it's over.
Right, and it's hard to let things go, but I don't think it's over forever really here. I just think maybe it's a timeout. You know, just step away from the situation before, you know, sometimes if you keep talking to someone when they're not ready to be talked to, it could get ugly and maybe things are said that you don't want to have said. So, you know.
That ship has already sailed.
I know. It's sad. I know. But it's, again, a world where everything triggers people, it's very hard to have discussions with people, by the way, at all. I mean, it's very hard. You know, everything becomes a blowout. Everything becomes, you know, I don't know. It's more and more a problem. Now, Nicole, what would you advise her to do? Anything that you're going through this with a family member?
Well, honestly, like, I wanted to hear, you know, more of, like, what your advice was. Because you know what? I mean, here's my whole thing. I mean, I'm in a situation right now with my family, with a family member that I cut off years ago. You know, she was not exactly a stand-up human being to start. And you know what? My family enabled her behavior and enabled her, you know, her addictions and everything else. And she still turned around and wanted more help and asked for more. She pretty much burned every bridge. And, you know, for a while she wound up being homeless. And then we found out that she went to jail. And now we found out that she literally only has the clothes on her back and she's living in some sort of a parolee halfway house. So she's, of course, now reaching out to everybody that she's wronged over the years saying, help me again, you know. And my answer to my mother, who wanted to help her, was no. Well, you know, it was, you know, don't give this person money. Don't do this. Don't do that. If you want to help somebody, there's ways around it, depending on what your situation is. There's ways of helping people without overextending yourself and without enabling them. You know, so, you know, what I advised in my situation was that because this girl is a known alcoholic and a known drug addict, and she's got COPD and she smokes like a chimney, I said absolutely no money whatsoever is to change hands. You do not give her anything because she's going to go out, she's going to put it up her nose, she's going to drink it away, or she's going to smoke it. So I said if you want to buy her some food that she can keep in her one room, if you want to buy her sheets, go right ahead. I said don't send anything to the halfway house because there's no guarantee that she's going to get it, you know. So I said, send it to her sister and make her sister go and deliver everything, you know. So if you want to do something, you could do something, but make sure it's on a smaller scale. You know, now in your situation, it seems like, you know.
It's not a situation like that at all.
Not at all. So it's hard for me to say, you know, because it's not similar whatsoever. I mean, let me ask you this. If you were to have a one-on-one conversation with this person, what would you want to say?
I would say
that you didn't get to say with the other person there.
I would reiterate the fact that I have been there her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
I have always been there, regardless of what has gone on. But
mm-hmm.
the way she's been treated and how she can just, that's it. My spouse says no, it's no. There's children involved that will never see their family. I mean, I believe that she's being emotionally controlled by her spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
But there's
situation.
Nothing we can do when someone's being controlled by their spouse. We can only back
no.
off. She's making the decision to listen to him. And, you know, there's a dysfunctional triangle called rescuer, persecutor, victim. You're trying to rescue her and you're getting persecuted and victimized. So it's best to step away.
You know,
well,
you're going to be the one at the end of this. You're going to be the bad guy in all of this. It's unfortunate
I'm
it's going
already
to happen.
Bad guy.
You know, I mean.
Guy.
Yeah, you're going to start to feel like you're the bad guy. You're the one, you know, it's just not going to go well. So I would just step away a little bit and, you know, let time do her thing and see what happens in time. You know, oftentimes, you know, these things do come to light, you know,
mm-hmm.
but right now I don't see that she wants your help or that, it, you know, I just think you're going to have to back away from it now at this point.
I
that's what my approach. I needed personal validation because I felt awful for giving up.
And now I know.
But
I know.
But here's the thing, though. You're not really giving up. If I were in your situation, you know, I mean, I think that the only thing that you can do is, number one, if you do get the opportunity again to speak to her, you know, one-on-one, okay, or to speak to them one-on-one, I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, you know, I would express your concern. Don't speak ill of the person that they're with, because that's just going to make them want to push you away even more. Just express your concern and just, you know, basically say, listen, if there's ever a time that you need me, I'll be there for you. And leave it at that. So you're not really giving up. What you're doing is you're allowing the situation to breathe. You're expressing your concern, but you're giving that person space. And you're also allowing that person to maintain an outlet in you. You're not closing the door and saying, well, you know, this is happening, and I can't sit back and watch. Because then when they do need help, when they do need support, they're going to feel like they have no one to turn to. You know, but if you take the approach of, hey, listen, you know what, these are my concerns right now, and if I'm off base, I'm off base. So this way you're not speaking ill of that person, but let the situation breathe and say, but listen, if there is ever a need, you know, I've been in your life or whatever, we have this much history, and you can kind of recount times and everything else, you know, say, you know, I'll be here, you know, and that's it. And just keep that door open for her to walk through it whenever she's ready to do it, you know. And if you even want to use, you know, the whole children thing, you could even say, you know, and I would love the, you know, an opportunity to, you know, to get to know, you know, these kids or what have you. And, you know, obviously you pick the right way to say that. But again, the most important things are just to keep the door open, you know, and, you know, say what you need to say. Don't be mean about it. You know, don't, you know, talk down about that person, because it's just going to cause a rift there. And, you know, just when she's ready to walk through the door, and cross your fingers that she walks through it.
Right. Exactly. And it's very hard sometimes to do nothing.
Oh, yeah.
But sometimes all we can do, because otherwise it just gets uglier and uglier. And, you know, sometimes we can't help people if they're not ready to be helped. Okay. And, you know, I know it's painful for you, but let it go at this point. Because I just, if you don't, I just see you getting aggravated. And Anne-Marie, I don't want you getting aggravated.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
You know what I mean? I don't want
you
getting
take it on. This is that person's cross to bear. This is not your cross to bear, you know, so you can't take that on you, you know. But if you have feelings, say what they are. But, you know, just like I said, don't speak ill of the other of the person that's being controlling, because that can just cause them to move away from you even further. You know,
and
you could even throw it out there that, hey, listen, if I'm off base, I'm off base. But these were my concerns, and these are my concerns because I care very much for you and I love you. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But if there is ever anything that you want to say, if there is any ever a time where you need me, just know that I'll be there for you. Done. End of story.
Right, exactly.
Yes, that's what I've already said.
Okay,
you're right.
Good.
And,
I'm just going to walk.
Great minds think alike, Anne-Marie.
Nice. I like it.
You're lucky it's not your own child. That makes it even worse, by the way. So,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, okay, like, and again, if someone's spouse gets a message that we don't like them, that's why we sometimes need to have a little more poker face, because we can never let people know what we're thinking. It can sometimes go bad. You know what I mean? And old souls, poker face is not our strong suit. Okay?
Right.
Well, anyway, we're just about the end of our show. Thank you for calling in. We had a really interesting callers tonight. And
yep.
Anne-Marie, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here for on those nights when you just don't know what to do, you know?
Thank you so much.
And, you know, call in again, Anne-Marie, and give us an update. Let us know how things are going there.
I will. Thank you so much.
Hey, isn't it?
Oh, that's a shit situation.
Yeah,
I was the complete opposite end of that, you know, because she's like, I want to make my family member get help. And I'm like, you know what, I think I need to hear this caller. But it was just so off base from what my family's going through.
Well, first of all, it is all kind of the same, though. Like, it's
when you just can't help.
It's just basically when you're asked to step away and not carry this cross.
It is.
It's not
it
your
is.
Cross to carry. That's what it comes down to. Sometimes it's just not our cross to carry.
Oh, completely. Completely. You know, I mean, and, you know, like I said to Anne-Marie, you know, there are certain things that, you know, that you're just not responsible for, as much as you wish you were responsible for them. It's not for you to act on. you know, especially if that person is unwilling to accept your help, you'll be the bad guy at the end. And then that'll be just another outlet that that person is missing later on if they need it. So.
Right. For sure. Well, good night, everybody. Thanks for calling in, and we'll all speak next week. Bye for now.